I would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. I would encourage everyone, if you will, to get a Bible. There are Bibles there on the pews. And please get a Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. I would like to read the first six verses. I would ask all of you to please be praying that God will bless us as we study His holy word, that God will teach us and instruct us. We might hear the word of the Lord, understand the truth, and that we might walk in the light of God's holy word. Before we begin to endeavor to study, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God and to know that Thou art our Heavenly Father. We thank You for the presence of Thy Holy Spirit this day. Thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. And we come this morning asking Thee to fill us with the Spirit of God, that we might be able to hear and understand, believe, and obey Thy holy word. We thank You, Lord, for every person that's here. We thank You for each individual and each family that's represented. And we ask Thy blessings upon each of them. And we know, Lord, that we have different backgrounds and different abilities and different talents, different gifts. But as children of God, we're precious because of the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray that You would help us to remember and to know the magnitude of the love of God in sending His only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. We're thankful that Jesus accomplished what He came to do. We're glad that He didn't just try or offer to do something, but He saved His people from their sins. We're thankful that He established His church in the earth, and we're thankful that He is now ruling and reigning as King of kings and Lord of lords in His kingdom. And we pray that You would help us this day as we come together, that we might learn more about Jesus. As we've just sung, more about Jesus, I would know. We want to know more about our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So teach us this day and instruct us. We pray that You would bless all of those who have lost loved ones. We know that You're the great comfort, and we pray that You would bless each one. Bless the family of Brother Ken Drayton and all the others that have lost loved ones. Pray that You would be with them, that You would be with all of those that are with child. Bless them and their babies. Pray that You would bless all of those that are sick and afflicted, those that are facing surgery this coming week. We pray that You would bless them and bless the doctors to be able to perform that surgery. Those that have had surgery, we pray that You would bless them with a speedy recovery. And those who have other kinds of problems that are much greater than physical problems, we pray that You would bless each of them individually and bless their families. Guide and direct us by Thy Spirit. Give us wisdom and understanding and knowledge that can come only from Thee. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in Thy sight. Help us now, we pray, in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to read now from Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 1. The Word of God says, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto Him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." If correctly read, that's Matthew 18 verses 1 through 6. There are several important lessons in this passage of Scripture. The first one that I want us to notice and remember is the importance of children. The importance of children. Every child is important. And we better be careful about how we treat children. Doesn't matter whether we're talking about children as far as age is concerned, or we're talking about babes in Christ. We need wisdom to know how to love those children and treat them in a way that would honor and glorify God. Notice verse 5. Well, notice verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 5 says, and whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. How is it that we serve Jesus? We want to serve our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. How do we go about serving Him? Well, Jesus tells us one way here when He says, whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. So as you're kind to children, you're manifesting your love for Jesus Christ. Jesus says, in Matthew 25, He says, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So little children, the way we treat children, whether we're talking about children in age or babes in Christ, they may be 80 years old or they may be less than a year old, however we treat children is important to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Whosoever receives one of these little ones in my name receiveth me. Now notice verse 6. He says, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Jesus makes it plain that you receive a little one, in receiving a little one, you receive him, and that when you offend one of these little ones, it would be better for a millstone to be hanged about around your neck and for you to be drowned in the sea than to offend one of these little ones. Jesus emphasizes the importance of babes, literally and physically and spiritually. Come down to verse 10. Still in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10, he continues to talk about the importance of little children. Matthew 18 verse 10, Jesus says, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Doesn't that seem to indicate that there are angels that are watching over these little children? And every one of those angels are right there in the presence of God. Now you think about if you are an angel, you know, Sister Maggie Smith, who was a faithful member for many years, she has three of her daughters here this morning. Sister Maggie's home with the Lord. But one thing I learned not long after I came here to Waycross 30 years ago is, you better not mess with her children. And she would tell me stories about teachers that would mess with her children. And people, whenever they offended one of her little children, I'm sure they understood what Jesus meant here, that it would be better for a millstone to be hung around the neck and then be cast into the depth of the sea. But I want you to think out not just about a mother responding to you offending a child, but I want you to think about there are angels in heaven that are in the presence of God and they're watching over these little ones, and Jesus makes it plain here in Matthew 8:10, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. It is a serious thing to offend little children. And again, I'm not talking only about physically and in age, but I'm talking about babes in Christ. It's a serious thing to offend one of God's little children. Now come down to verse 14. Verse 14 says, even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. You know what he's just been talking about before that? He's been talking about if a man has 100 sheep, what does he do? And one of those sheep goes astray. It doesn't matter. He goes and he leaves the 99. He goes after that one sheep. Why? Because every child of God is important. Every babe in Christ, every lamb of God is important. And all of us, as we go about our daily activities, we need to remember that it's a serious thing to offend even one of the little ones that belong to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Come down to chapter 19. He's still speaking about the same truth of the importance of children. In verse 13, Matthew 19. Now, can you imagine, let's just suppose you were right there and you're listening to all Jesus is saying about these little ones, okay? You're there. You're there. And you're listening to all that I've just read to you. He's continuing to speak about little children. And then some little children come to him. Can you imagine you interfering with those little children getting close to Jesus after he's just said all of those things? Well, look at Matthew 19, verses 13 and 14. Then were there brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked him. There was a tendency in that day for little children to be pushed aside and ignored, and for them to be of no significance whatsoever. And when people brought little children to Jesus for him to pray for them, the disciples, the scripture says, that the disciples rebuked them. They did not want those children. They didn't think children were important. Now, brethren, it's a common thing today for God's people to think that children are not important, and they are important to God. Our whole nation, with almost 50 million babies being killed, we're proving that as a nation we despise little ones. It's a serious thing to despise little children. And after the disciples rebuked them, that is, rebuked those children, Jesus says in Matthew 19, verse 14, but Jesus said, suffer little children, that means allow, suffer or allow little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Now what does he say there? Now everybody here, I hope, understands the difference in eternal heaven and the kingdom of heaven. The Word of God says that the kingdom of heaven, eternal heaven, is a heaven we go to when this world is over. When we die, all of God's people are going to be in the eternal heaven forever. But God has established the kingdom of heaven for His obedient children while they live here in this world. The Word of God says that Jesus says that this kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God is within you. The Word of God says that the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of heaven is something God has prepared for His obedient children while they live here in this world. And Jesus says in Matthew 19, 14, He says, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Did you know, I believe that probably the children, in many ways, and I'm talking right now about literal children, I think that literal, physical children are often closer to God than adults are. I believe that many, many little children are closer to God than adults are. They seem to have so much faith in God. Have you ever noticed that? It's like Sister Mary. Now, Sister Mary Pierce, how old are you, Sister Mary? 72. She's 72 years old. She's afflicted in a lot of ways. But you know what she said? She said, in spite of all my afflictions, I just felt like if I could just get to the house of God and just have the people of God there to pray for me, I believe that God will heal my problems. Now, that's faith. And there's a babe in Christ, and yet she's strong spiritually. The people of God, little children have that kind of faith. Little children, most of the time, little children have great faith in God. It's not little faith, it's great faith in God. Their confidence is in God. They believe God. They believe in God. They love God. They know that God loves them. So little children, Jesus says, suffer little children, allow little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. That's the kind of people. That's the kind of people that are in the kingdom of heaven are humble people. And I want to go back now to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, I want us to concentrate this morning our study in Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4. Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4. Jesus says, "Verily I say unto you, except ye..." Now, who is he speaking to in Matthew 18? Who is he speaking to? To whom is he talking? Okay, to his apostles or disciples. He's talking to disciples. He's talking to his disciples or his apostles. And he says, "Verily I..." Now, what were they arguing about? They were arguing about which one of them was the what? Which one of us is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, we sit back and look at this, and we almost think one of that was really foolish. But did you know we do the same thing many times? Now, we wouldn't literally do that, of course. If I were to say, if you think you're the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, stand up. I don't think there's anybody here that would stand up. But I want you to know that sometimes people are full of vain pride, and they don't even know the pride is there. And yet the Word of God teaches us in more than one occasion that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Do you think that sometimes you have a problem with being full of pride? Is pride a problem in most of our lives? And do you know what Jesus says? "Except ye be converted, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Unless we, I'm talking about us here this morning, I'm talking about children of God, Jesus says, were these disciples, were they children of God? Were they children of God? Yes, they were children of God. Had they already been born again? Yes, they had already been born again. Were they following Christ? Yes, they were following Christ in many ways, but there was one way they were not following Christ. Jesus could have said to them, as he did to a rich young ruler one time, he could have said, "One thing," what? "One thing thou lackest." I think that all of us need to pray, "God, help me to see what it is I'm lacking, because I'm lacking something in my life." There's not anybody here that's not lacking something. By that I mean there's nobody here that's perfect. All of us are lacking at least one thing, if we're not lacking several things. And probably one of the things that almost all of us are lacking is the amount of humility that God would have us to have. And so it is that Jesus says right here, Jesus says, "Except ye be converted." Brethren, there's a difference in conversion and regeneration. Regeneration is when God comes to His people and they're born of the Spirit of God. That's regeneration, or the new birth. That happens one time in the lives of God's people. But conversion, and that's what Jesus is talking about here, He says to those that were born again, He says, "Except ye be converted," notice the wording there, "except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Was He saying they were going to die and go to eternal hell? No. What was it they would not enter if they did not humble themselves? Which heaven? The kingdom of heaven. "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And that's true of every one of us. Every time that we get lifted up in pride, we need to be converted. We need to humble ourselves. You follow that? Humble ourselves. We need to humble ourselves. I want us to think this morning about some of the characteristics that children have that are pleasing to God. Now, are children pleasing to God in every way? Absolutely not. But there are many characteristics that children have that the people of God ought to have in their lives. And that's what we want to do this morning, is we want to look at three or four or five of the specific characteristics that children have that we ought to have. And the first one we're looking at is children are humble. I want you to go back to verse 2 and notice that Jesus called a little child unto Him and set him in the midst of them. I didn't never see this till last night, just meditating on, just rereading this. And Jesus called a little child unto Him. What did the child do? Jesus called a little child unto Him. What did He do? Brother Malachi, come here a minute. Brother Malachi, come here a minute. Thank you, brother. You're a good child of God. I love you. Thank you. Can I have a hug? Thank you.
Love you.
You can go back and be seated, man. He did not know I was going to call on him. You think it was frightening? You think it was frightening to come up here? Sure it was frightening, but what did he do? He came. Jesus called a little child. What did the child do? He came. Amen. He came and shook hands with me. He came and hugged my neck. That's an obedience. You follow obedience to authority. Obedience to authority. When our Lord calls, and our Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He calls us to come, but what happens so many times in our lives, instead of us going when He calls us, sometimes we harden our hearts and we refuse and rebel and we dwell in our troubles and problems and we're weighted down with the problems of life and we think, "I just don't know what I'm going to do because of all the troubles I have." I'm telling you, Jesus says, "Come here, little child." Jesus says, "Come here." And what does a child, if you're humble like a little child, what will the child do? The child will go to Jesus. One of the songwriters says, "I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms. In the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 arms." Jesus is calling you. He's calling you. He's calling you. And the question I'm asking is, first of all, I'm not going to ask a question. I'm just going to tell you, when Jesus calls you, if you don't come, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus calls you and you don't respond to His call, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus called this little child and he went to Jesus. And then Jesus, I picture Jesus as literally picking up this child and setting him up on a little stool or something, but sitting that child in the midst of them. You see that? Jesus called the child and then sat the child in the midst of them. And then he said to his apostles, he says, "Except ye be converted and become as this little child." A little child that does what? What's the first thing? When he calls, what did you better do? You better respond. You better go to him. I believe Jesus calls us many times during our lives. I think many times each day Jesus is calling. Are you hearing Him call? Have any of you ever had somebody call you and you didn't respond to their call? Have any of you ever had somebody call you and you didn't even hear them call? I'm talking about right in the house and the sound waves beat on the eardrum, but you didn't hear them say anything. Does everybody understand what I mean? Every husband here knows what I'm talking about. I often say, "I did not hear you call me." Many times when I'm studying and Teresa leaves and she walks in there and she tells me everywhere she's going and what she's going to be doing, and about an hour later I realize she's gone. And I call her and I say, "Honey, where are you?" Well, not necessarily honey. I say, "Where in the world are you?" And she says, "I told you everywhere I was going." Well, I didn't hear. Do you know Jesus makes this statement many times? He says, "He that hath..." In fact, 27 times, I believe it's 27 times in the New Testament that Jesus makes this statement. He says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Listen. Listen to me. Not saying me. Listen to Jesus. If you have an ear to hear, it's because God in His amazing grace has implanted His Spirit in your heart and you've been born again. You have an ear to hear. And Jesus says, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear." He called this little child, and the child came to him, and he sat the child in the midst. So a child that has the right spirit is going to be an obedient child, and when Jesus calls, he's going to respond. Second characteristic I want you to notice is in verse 4. "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Let me mention this. There are no big I's and little U's in the eternal heaven. Everybody listen carefully. When we get to eternal heaven, there aren't going to be some people on the back 40 and up, others right close to Jesus. When we get to the eternal heaven, the Word of God says that we're going to all be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Now, brethren, you can't improve on that. We're going to be made absolutely perfect. And there aren't going to be some people with 6 crowns and some with no crowns and some in rags and others rich. all the people of God, the whole family of God, is going to be on the same plane in the eternal heaven. We're going to all be close to Jesus. You say, how can it be done? God can do it. I can't figure it all out. God's going to do it. But now, in the kingdom of heaven, listen carefully. This is one of the differences in eternal heaven and kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of heaven, there are different levels and degrees of joy in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus says here, except ye be converted, no, he says in verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Does that show that there are different degrees in the kingdom of heaven? He's greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In fact, Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, he talks about those that are the least in the kingdom of heaven. And here he talks about those that are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. There are different degrees of righteousness and peace and joy in the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes we're lifted up so high that we feel like we're right there in the presence of God. And other times we can feel close to God, but we know we've been closer before. There are different degrees. But whosoever will humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So humility is something we all need to pray, God, help me to be more humble. You remember how Jesus makes this statement. Turn in your Bible just a minute. Turn to Matthew chapter 23 just a moment. And I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but I want you to listen. You know, I went into a store Friday. When I walked into the store, there was a man sitting there, and he said, come on in, Reverend. And I said, well, you know, the word reverend is only used one time in the Bible, and that's in reference to God. I said, the Bible says holy and reverend is His name. And I said, I'm not near good enough or high enough for you to ever call me reverend. And he said, well, what do you want me to call you? And the owner of the store said, he just wants you to call him brother or preacher or just Bill is all right. Is that true? Yeah. Why do we want so many titles to names? Oh, he's the reverend so-and-so, or the most holy reverend so-and-so. Not a single man on this earth should be called reverend. Jesus says in Matthew, why do you want to be called reverend? You know, I hear people that want to be a preacher and they want to be ordained to be a preacher. You don't know what it is to be a pastor. You don't know anything about it. You don't know the burdens and the problems and the heartaches and the troubles. But Matthew 23, listen to Matthew 23 verse 8. Jesus says, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And all ye are what? Brethren. We're brethren. We're all the same. Jesus is the master. He is the leader. We're all brethren. He's the head. We're all members of the body. And every member of the body is equally important. Every member of the body is important. Don't be called rabbi. Are there people that want to be called rabbi today? Well, Jesus says, don't do it. I don't care what any group of people says do. If it contradicts the Word of God, don't do what the Bible tells you not to do. Jesus says, don't call any man rabbi. Now listen to verse 9. And call no man your father upon earth. Are there people, and this is not talking about a natural daddy, because we have scripture where a natural daddy is called father, but we're talking about in a spiritual sense. You should never say to me, Father Bill or Father Mullis. That's giving glory that should never be given to a man. Call no man your father upon earth. Now let me ask you this. If somebody calls me father, what am I supposed to say? Yeah. Jesus said, don't call a man father. Does everybody understand that? Don't call a man father. He says, don't call a man father, for one is your father which is in heaven. Verse 10 says, neither be you called master, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. What does that mean? If you try to lift yourself up, if you try to be the greatest, if you want to be recognized as very, very important, Jesus will bring you down. Oh, He's brought me down a lot of times in my life. Every time I feel great liberty in preaching and I get the big head, guess what He does every time? He'll bring me right down. He'll say, go ahead, big preacher. Preach without me. And what will He do? He will always bring you down. Doesn't matter what you accomplish in your life. You get full of pride and watch what happens to you. Every man that exalteth himself shall be abased. And every man that humbleth himself, everybody that humbles themselves will be lifted up by God. Have you ever been lifted up by God? Have you ever been able to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord? Have you ever been lifted up into the kingdom of heaven and been able to feel that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost? The only time that'll ever happen is when you humble yourself. What's another characteristic besides coming when He calls and besides humbling ourselves, and those two can go together, but what's another characteristic that a child has that all of us ought to have? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. There's another characteristic of children that every child of God should have. Every child of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Word of God tells us something else that's important. First Corinthians chapter 14, listen please to verse 20. There's some characteristics of men that we ought to have, and there's some characteristics of children we ought to have. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20 says, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children. What do you think the Word of God means right here when the Word of God says, in malice be ye children? What does that mean? In malice be ye children. Brother Walker, are you and Malachi friends? Okay. Have y'all ever fussed with each other?
Not really.
Have y'all ever had a little fuss at all? Okay. Sometimes I watch the children in the back of church, after church, and they're running and they're playing, and sometimes they get mad at each other. Did you know that sometimes happens with children? They get mad at each other. And if parents will keep their nose out of the children's business, do you know what will always happen with children? You know what will happen with children? They'll forget it. He said, not really. Malachi says, no, we have never had a fuss. I've watched them. I have seen them mad at each other. I have seen them where they almost look like they hated each other. But if you just leave them alone, guess what happens? I've never interfered with them, but just leave them alone and what will happen? They'll get it straightened out. You know why? Because the Bible teaches that children, when it comes to malice, they know how to forgive. They know how to forgive. And F-O-R-G-E-T. They know how to forgive and forget. People say sometimes, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget it. You have not forgiven the way Jesus says to forgive if you don't forget it. And if you are not willing to forgive, Jesus says, if ye forgive not men their trespasses on this earth, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. If you won't forgive somebody, listen carefully, brethren, if you are not willing to forgive, you better fasten your seatbelt. Because God will not forgive you if you will not forgive your brethren. In malice, what does Jesus say? In malice be what? Be children. They're forgiving, aren't they? The Apostle Paul says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God has forgiven you. Yesterday, did you know God forgave everybody in this building? God forgave a lot of you for a lot of things yesterday. Today already, God has forgiven you. You might say, well, I haven't sinned. I've had people say that. I've had people say, well, I haven't sinned since I got born again. That person does not understand what God's Word says. You sin every day of your life. The Bible says the very thoughts of foolishness is sin. Have you ever had a foolish thought, Brother Donald? Ever gotten angry? Ever been angry at me? Yes. I've been angry at you too. But I'll tell you what, I love you. I love you as much as I love anybody. Brother David and I have been probably mad at me, and you haven't been as mad as me and Brother David have been. I'm telling you, he and I have yelled at each other. We have screamed at each other. We thought it was all over a number of times. But you know what happened? Every day before the sun went down, you know what's happened every single time? It's gotten straightened out. Isn't that right? Never have we gone to bed mad at each other. Not one time. Not a man in this church that I've been madder at than Brother David. Nobody in this church, I don't believe another man he's been madder at than me. Isn't that true, Brother David? True. In malice be what? In malice be ye children. If you're not going to be like children, guess where you're not going to be? Where will you not be if you are not going to humble yourself and forgive one another? You want to hold on to malice? You're out. You're out. You're out of the kingdom of heaven every time you have malice in your heart. Hold on to it if you want to. But I'm telling you upon the authority of God's holy word, if you hold malice in your heart, if you hold on to roots of bitterness, it'll eat you up, it'll tear you apart, and you will not be in the kingdom of heaven when you hold on to malice and anger. We haven't even scratched the surface yet on the importance of being like children. I want us to pray that God will help us to continue tonight to look at children, to look at the good qualities that children have, and to understand what Jesus was talking about when he says, except ye be converted. Do you need converting today? Is there anybody here that doesn't need converting? If you don't think you do, please see me, because I can straighten that misconception out. We all need to be converted. Except ye be converted and become as little children, Jesus says, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. May God help us every day to be as little children in the right way, is my prayer for Christ's sake.